Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Well, I hope you guys have been enjoying the series. Anybody been enjoying our series, The Story of David? I've been enjoying it, and David's one of my favorite Bible characters. There's more written about the life of David in the Bible than anybody else except for Jesus. David has 66 chapters. The next closest is Abraham with 14. There's just some emphasis that God is putting on his story that he wants us to know about and learn from the life of David and from the cast of characters that surround David's life. So I've been praying for you guys that this wouldn't just be another Sunday. I guess we better go to church here. I've been praying for you that these messages about David would start to come alive, that as a church, we begin to develop this heart after God like David had, that it wouldn't just be okay just to get by, but man, God, we want to see you move in our lives. God, we want to be known by you and to know you more, that we just begin to develop this heart like David had, to know God, to be people after God's heart. There's things that we can put our lives and our attention on, but what really matters is what God wants to happen in this earth. And we can be a part of it, or we can go and do our own thing. And that's really one of the key differences between David and everybody else in his life, and why David earned this title of the man after God's own heart. So I hope that it's ministering to you and it's beginning to cultivate things in you, that God is speaking to your hearts. And if you missed any of the weeks, get on the podcast, listen to it, get a refresher. We put the videos on the website. If you're more of a visual person, you can watch those on there, and I encourage you to do that. And if you missed any of the weeks, and the first week we talked about why God chose David, because Israel, they already had a king. Right? They had King Saul, and he had been the king, but Saul began to be very distrusting. He began to disobey God and do his own thing. And God said, I can't have a king like that. Kings can't rule that way. Right? So God said, I've got to find somebody who will listen and who will obey and who will have a heart after mine. So God found a boy named David, a shepherd boy out in the fields of Bethlehem. He said, this boy will grow into be the king. And so there he was anointed, but he wasn't yet appointed. That means that God had called him to do something, but it wasn't time for him to step and be the king yet. Right? He had a calling on his life. And so we talked in week number two about how David killed the giant Goliath, and how God has called each and every one of us to be giant killers. Right? We all face things in our lives, but God hasn't called us to just let those things be in our lives, let them yell at us. God has called us to rise up and be a generation that moves out in faith, to take out giants, to get rid of those things. That's who God has called us to be. And what does it look like for us to be giant killers? Last week, we talked about the making of a king. God has a different process than the world has for the making of a king. So what is involved in being a king? So you would have thought, as David killed a giant and he was thrust into fame, and everyone knew his name and everyone was chanting his name, you would have thought in that moment that he would have been ushered in right into the palace and become king in that moment. But instead of that moment of great victory, David actually entered in some of the most painful, the most difficult season of his life, where he'd be on the run, he'd be on the caves, and the very king who became his father-in-law was then out to kill him, throwing spears at him. Over 21 times the king tried to kill the boy David, because the king was becoming more and more mad. He was becoming angry. He was losing his mind. He had his angry, jealous eye on David, because David was succeeding and nothing was happening in Saul's life. And so Saul was out to kill David. And last week, David is on the run. He's alone. He's trying to escape from Saul, because Saul is throwing spears, trying to take his life. David runs to the town of his enemies. He can't find refuge there. So he runs out into the wilderness, out into the middle of nowhere. And that's where we pick up today in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1. Let's pray today before we read the word. Lord, I thank you that you're here with us in this place, that your spirit and your presence is here in this place. And where you are, God, is freedom. Where you are is fullness of joy. Where you are, Lord God, there's freedom from the things that would try to hold us back. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, for just moving in this place. That every obstacle would be removed, that every barrier would be destroyed, that your will be done, that your word would be declared. And that as it's declared, that it would break up the hard parts in our hearts, Lord God, that your word would go deep inside of us, that it would take root and produce fruit, because we are good ground. And everybody said, Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1, it says this. It says, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. The cave of Adullam. The word of the Lord today is king of the caves. David became king of the caves. He's there in this place of retreat, hiding in the caves. There's no Wawa's in sight. There's no Publix, no Pub Subs. There's no Chick-fil-A. He's just out there in the middle of this wilderness with nothing. It's just him and all the wild animals and God up there. And here's David in the cave. He's supposed to be the king of Israel. And here he is running, afraid, alone, hiding in the caves. I imagine those first few nights, all the noises that would have been going on as David's in the cave, right? All the animals that were out there in the wilderness, everything. You know, David's just trying to figure this out and what's going on. And here's David alone in the caves. Let's just take a minute and go back 3,000 years and imagine what it would have been like for David in this cave as we see his heart and his emotions and his thoughts and everything that David was struggling with in this deep, dark cave of Adullam.
Man, this is messed up. Why is it so cold? This is ridiculous. Why am I even here? God, anybody. I don't deserve this. I did everything right. Everything right. I did all the right things, and I'm still here. In the wrong place, all alone. God, I thought you said I was going to be the king. I thought you said you had a plan for my life. Some king. King of the caves. I feel like I've lost everything. My wife. My best friend. My status. My family. My father-in-law. The king of Israel is trying to kill me. God, I've done nothing but love him and serve him. I never threw the spears back. So why am I here? I haven't lost everything. I still have hope. Even though it feels hopeless. Even though it feels like everyone is against me. God, I have hope. And I believe that you're with me. Even in this cave. I believe that you're with me. So I'm going to turn this cave into a house of worship. God, I choose to let this dark season in my life become training ground. For something greater. I'm holding on to you. You are my vindicator, my shepherd, my king. So I trust you, Lord. I choose to worship you. And I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee, oh Lord. God, I choose to trust. Trust you in the wilderness. You're not finished. My best days are still in front of me. I'm going to handle this like a champion. So not my will, Father, but yours be done.
David would spend this time in the caves alone, talking to God, writing psalms, and trying to figure out what was going on. It would be days before anybody would hear what was going on with David. And we see in the next verse, it says, when his brothers and his father's household heard about David and where he was, they went down to him there. I love this picture here because all up until now, we see David's brothers fighting against him and this family divided. And here God is showing us, he said, I'm bringing families back together. Amen. And I believe that God is doing that even here and now. There's been some families that have been separated, that have been struggling. There's been strife in your house. There's been division. But God is saying, I'm bringing families back together. He's shifting things, changing our hearts and minds. There's moments where God can, just in a moment, God can do something great. He's beginning to bring things back together. David was learning to navigate the season of the caves. We've all been in these seasons of caves where we feel alone, where there's just wondering, despair, just feels like nothing is working right. David was learning that in these seasons where he's hidden and he's alone, he had to learn to trust God. See, before he could learn to become, before he could become the king of Israel, he had to become king of the caves. You've got to learn to become king of the caves before you can handle the weight of the crown. See, because God already had a guy who had the weight of the crown and it destroyed him. He had a Saul already. He didn't want that to repeat again. We've got to learn in the cave what God wants to do in our hearts. So what do we do when we're in the caves? What do we do when we're king of the caves? We're in this place alone and full of despair and wondering what's going on. I want you to write a couple of these things down today if you're taking notes. What do we do when we're in the caves? Number one, look to God. Look to God. What do we do when we're alone? We look to God. See, we've got to change our vision. We've got to change what we're looking at, because we can look at ourselves all day long. We can look at our problems all day long and wonder why they seem so big and wonder why they seem so impossible to overcome. But the moment we take our eyes off of ourselves and begin to magnify the Lord, we begin to look at Him and how great He is. The moment we change what we're looking at, the things of this world, our problems, our issues don't seem so big anymore. There's nothing too big for God. There's nothing impossible for Him. We've just got to change what we're looking at, change what we're focusing on. We've got to put our eyes on God. See, there's nothing in this world that can satisfy like God. There's nothing this world has that can satisfy us like the presence of God. There's no confusion that the world can calm like the presence of the Lord. When there's confusion, man, just enter into His presence and confusion has to leave. Man, there's nothing this world has that can do it. Drugs won't do it. Relationships won't do it. Pornography's not going to do it. Some wrong thing ain't going to do it. No bottle can bring it. No pill can bring peace. There's nothing this world has that can do it. We've got to begin to look to God in these seasons. Change what we're looking at. I know it sounds like a simple thing, but it is. It is. It's just changing what we're focused on. The focus that we have will change the atmospheres. Will change it. We've got to look to God. Number one, we look to God. Number two, we don't stay isolated. Can't stay isolated. David started out alone, but he didn't stay that way. It says that his brothers and his family came and crawled into that cave with him. Man, thank God for the people in our lives who are willing to crawl into that cave with you, to lift you up, to encourage you, say, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I'm with you. I know these enemies are trying to take you out, but it's all right. We're with you. We're going to lift up your arms. We're going to strengthen you. Whatever it takes, we're with you. People that are going to crawl into despair with you and say, I'm going to help you out of this thing. Man, we can find ourselves in any one of this place in this story. Some of us are David. We're in the cave. We're the king of the caves. And everything is echoing around us. We're trying to figure it out. Some of us are those brothers and sisters. We're those people who are going to crawl into the cave with somebody else. Some of us are Saul. We're hunting people down. We're throwing spears. We're rejoicing when others fail and hoping they fall. Some of us are the Sauls. But God wants to use you in every season of your life. Just because you're in the cave doesn't mean that God's done with you. It doesn't mean He's forgotten about you. God wants to use you in every season of your life. He has greater things for you. He's not finished with you yet. You got breath in your lungs. God has something for you. But too many times, it's just we take our personal issues as an excuse to be inward. I just need to be inward. It's never an excuse. Just because we're in a cave, it's never an excuse to be self-focused. Because when we're self-focused, we miss out on the opportunity of what God really wants to do in our lives. God wants to do something great. He wanted to do something in David, but David had to learn to get out of himself and not be self-focused. He had to learn to allow people to come into his life. See, David could have, in that moment when his brothers and his family were coming to the cave, he could have been like, no, y'all were hating on me. Haters gonna hate. You need to bring that hate outside. But David learned to not be isolated. He learned to let people in his life. The next verse, it says, all of those who were in distress, those who were in debt or discontented, gathered around to David, and he became their commander. And there was about 400 men with him. David found a brotherhood of people. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that wouldn't be the qualifications I would look for first. Those who were down and out, those who were indebted. Like, we all want, like, hey, I want to pick first so I can pick the best, right? I was never one of the ones who are always picked first, you know, like when you're picking kids to play, you know, dodgeball or something or whatever it is, like that wasn't me. But man, Isn't that true? We always want to pick the best of the best. But here God is showing us, like, David entered into the cave by himself and alone and on the run and afraid. And these men entered into the cave. They crawled into the cave with David. They were down. They were out. They were discontent. They were indebted. They were in fear. But little did they know that as they crawled into the cave, one way God was going to bring them out with a king. And they were going to come out and become David's mighty men of valor. Enter into a season one way. But God's going to bring you out a different way, full of power, full of strength, into the season that he has for you. Man, king of the caves, there's something that God wants to do in this season. But we need some community. Everybody say community. That's right. Number three, we need to turn our wilderness, our cave, into a training ground. We need to turn our cave into a training ground. See, for the next 8 years of David's life, he would be on the run in the wilderness. He would be leading his men through the wastelands and hiding in caves and night after night, wondering how it was going to work out, what was going to happen. 8 years David was with these broken men, wondering, leading them, wandering all around. But David, in this time, he was teaching them about who God was. He was teaching them to worship. I don't know how things are going to work out to me, but I will exalt the Lord. He's always been good to me. I know Saul's trying to kill me, but God said he would prepare a table for me, even in the presence of my enemy. David was teaching his men what it was like to allow God to break your heart, to pull things out of you that shouldn't be there, so that they could step out and lead in strength, so that they could be mighty men of valor. See, without the season of caves and without training in those seasons, we'll never be ready to walk out what God has for us. There's something about that waiting season, like this preparation season, right? That's what caves really are. It's like a season of preparation, right? And oftentimes we want to get out of the preparation and just be in the place already, right? Right? It's like when football season comes around. I love to watch football, and but I have no tolerance for the preseason. I'm like, please don't ask me to watch a preseason game. I just want to get to the real games already. Can we just skip all the practice? Just take me to the games. I'm ready. I'm ready for the season to start. And it's so true. So many times in my own life and in our lives, we want to just, okay, I know I need to practice. I know I need to be in the season of preparation, but just get me to the thing already. I'm ready to go, right? But we've got to learn to love these seasons. We've got to learn to let these seasons train us. What does God want to do? See, God wants to do amazing things in us. He needs to pull things out of us in these seasons. Things that he doesn't want to be in there. Things that are going to get in the way of how he wants us to lead. Things like in our heart, like jealousy. Like anger, things that can't be there if we want to be the kind of king, the kind of queen that he's called us to be. Amen. We've got to turn the season into a training ground. See, champions train, losers complain. It's so true. Champions know how to train. Losers just complain. Why do I got to be in here anyway? Right? Champions like, I know how to take the season that everyone else wants. I know how to turn it into a training ground. God, what do you want to do in me? What do you want to do in me? Man, what do you see in a cave? God will bring about restoration, right? See, David didn't realize it, but God was restoring his family. He was bringing people beside him who would be with him through thick and thin. There's a place of restoration. He entered into the cave broken, wondering what was happening, but God did something in him. He developed a king inside of this cave. See, the church is just like that cave. The church is a place of restoration where you come in feeling broken. God, where are you? Why are all these things happening to me? But you come in, you fix your eyes upon him. You get community around you. You begin to let God work in you, pull things out of you, put things inside of you. He begins to develop integrity inside of you. You might have been showing up at work late every day, trying to cheat that clock, trying to slip out early. But God is now, you're in this cave and God is developing integrity inside of you. You say, you can't do that no more. And so now you're the first one there. You're giving it your all. Man, God wants to develop integrity inside of you. It's a training ground. It's a training ground that God has for us. God's got a battle for you to fight. But if you never train for it, you won't be able to win. Right? See, because what happens is we'll perform to the level that we prepare, right? If I never prepare for this message, then it'll be real sad when everybody comes, right? But whatever the season that we're in, it's a season of preparation. If we'll love those seasons, if we'll say, God, what are you doing in me? What do you want to do in me? There's so many questions in those caves, aren't there? There's so many questions. Can I just tell you, it's okay to ask God those questions. I spent so much time in my own life trying to hide questions from God because For whatever reason, I didn't want God to know that I was struggling, that I had questions, that I didn't know how to put things together. And so I just like, God, I'm good. Like, I'll figure it out. But can I just tell you, it's just so like, God isn't scared by your questions. In fact, he already knows it all anyways. So we're just better off to tell him about it. Just ask him your questions. Just ask him the questions. There's nothing too big for him anyways. He's not going to be like, oh, I can't help you with that one. Y'all, we need to just ask him our questions. We need to get to that season. See, we can, in this season of caves, we can choose to stay in this cave and rot away. We can let the despair and the fear and all that just stay on us and just rot away in that caves. And people do that. We all know people that are like that. Just everything is just down. It's just never going to, I'm just never going to make it out of this. We can choose to stay in this cave. Or we can choose to allow God to do things inside of us, to develop us, to train us, to mold us, to shape us, so that we can be then out of that cave and lead people out of us, out of the cave with us, and step into the things that God has for us, so that we can be the kings and the queens that God has called us to. So what are the questions that we ask in the caves, right? What are the questions? Why am I here? It's a dangerous question to ask, right? God, why am I here? Because sometimes he'll answer and we don't like the answer he gives us, right? That's the thing about asking God questions that you need to know, is that he's going to answer you. And then when he answers you, then you're responsible for that answer. It might not always be what you want to hear, but it'll be the truth. It'll be what he wants to do in you. Why am I here, God? And that brings us, should lead us to this next question. What do I need to learn in this season? God, what do I need to learn in this season of the caves? What do you want to do in me? If I can learn something in every season, if I'm supposed to train like a champion in the season, what do I need to learn here, God? What is it that you need to do? See, we can maximize every moment or we can waste every moment. We just need to learn to allow God to work in us. And that brings us to the third question that we should ask, is how can I make the most of the time in this cave? I can just be here and I can not do anything with it, or I can let it prepare me. I can be ready to step out into what you have for me, God. So David rallied all of his men together. They made the caves, the wilderness, the forest into their training ground. They would get stronger and stronger, and Saul would become more and more mad and crazy and just continue to try to kill David. And 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8, it says this. It says, Saul called up all the forces of the army for battle to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David stayed in the wilderness strongholds in the hills and the deserts of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for David. Isn't that what it's like when you're being attacked? You know, our spiritual enemy, the devil, he comes and it's like day after day, right? Just like under attack, looking over your shoulder all the time. It's a relentless thing, day after day after day. You can't seem to escape it. Isn't that just like the enemy? And I think it's so interesting in this too, that the king of Saul, the king of Israel, he was so distracted by David. He should have been leading his people. He should have been ruling in his kingdom. But instead, he's out in the wilderness chasing David. He's distracted by his rage and his bitterness and his jealousy. God needs kings who will lead with a broken spirit. People who will dare to lead with a broken heart before him to say, God, what is it that you have for me? God, I'm not going to be like everybody else. That's the kind of king that God is looking for. Saul was on a downward spiral towards destruction. I love this next part, though, this next line of the scripture. Two words. It says, but God. Everybody say, but God. But this time, say it again with a little bit of swagger. And they say, but God. That's right. But God did not hand David into his hands. Man, that's, you can know right there, God is not going to give you over to the will of your enemies. God's not just going to be like, here you go, enemies, take him out. No, God is fighting for you. He's a refuge in time of trouble. He's your safe place. We can turn to him and be safe and know that God is your vindicator. He's the one who's going to go before you and fight for you anyways. He's got you. He's got you in the palm of his hands. You are safe with him. He's not going to turn you over. What man wants to stop in your life, man, God is going to make happen. There's nothing that man can do to stop what God wants to happen in your life. There's no demon in hell that can stop the plans of God. They just think they can, but they don't know the truth that whatever God wills to happen will happen. And God has got you on his mind. He's got a plan for you. He's not done with you yet. 1 Samuel 24:1, it says, after Saul finished pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens along the way, and a cave was there. And Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. So here's the picture. David and his men, king of the caves, are hiding in the caves. David's way back there in the caves, and they're hiding. They see this army chasing them, so they get back as far as they can in the cave. And sure enough, here comes King Saul into the front of the cave. I can just picture in this moment, all of David's men, they're starting to whisper to him, because Saul doesn't even know that they're back there. Like, David, now's your time. Now's the time. Take your sword, David. Strike him down. God has given your enemies into your hands. Take him out, David. You have every right to do it. He's been chasing you down. And look what God has brought deliverance to you. Go up there and take his life, David. It's yours. His men are there. They're whispering in his ear, telling him to do this. David's got his sword out. He's getting closer and closer. He hears the whispers behind him. He sees the king before him. But David knew that if you're going to live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. He knew that he couldn't be the kind of king God has called him to be if he had struck down who God had anointed. He knew that I better not lay a hand. I better not speak a word against God's anointed. In that moment, he just cut off a corner of Saul's robe, a little piece of fabric, and retreated back into the cave. And I love David's integrity in this moment. His conscience is so stricken in this moment, even just with that little thing. Most of us are like, good job, David. You didn't even like... David, he has so much integrity in this moment. He has so much fear of the Lord. It's such a beautiful thing to have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord will drive you to an integrous life. That when Saul left the cave and climbed down, David came out and cried to him and said, Saul, Saul! And then he bowed down to the ground in respect to Saul. Man, what a move. God was doing something in David in this moment. And he says, God just delivered you into my hands. I could have taken you out. I could have killed you, but I didn't because I love you. I serve you. I want to honor you. I'm not going to set my hand against you because you're the Lord's anointed. You're the king. So I'm not going to do that. Would you please, please just stop trying to kill me. See, I've got this thread right here. I could have taken you out, but I didn't. And in this moment, Saul, he cries. He's like, David, you're a better man than me. And David's like, okay, but please stop trying to kill me. Right? As all of our answers would have been. And Saul's like, okay, I'll stop trying to kill you. But David knew better. He had enough spears thrown at him. He knew better. And so him and his men continued to be on the run and in the caves. And so what do we do when we're mistreated in life? Number one, we look to God. Number two, we don't stay isolated. Three, we turn our wilderness into a training ground. And number four, we handle mistreatment like a champion. We handle mistreatment like a champion. Right? David was mistreated. He was the king of the caves, but he was supposed to be the king of Israel. But we have to learn how to handle mistreatment like a champion. Handle mistreatment like a Christian. Right? We're supposed to be Christ-like. Right? I wonder how Jesus would handle mistreatment. We already know that. We see in Scripture how he was mistreated for us. How he was beaten. How he was lied about. And even those that lied about it were making, they weren't even true. Their lies couldn't even work together. His beard was plucked out. He was whipped. He was nailed to a cross. He was spit on, everything. He was mistreated. And he even pointed out the fact in that moment. He said, I could call down a legion of angels right now to save me. And he said, I'm not going to. And Jesus was mistreated. He showed us what it was like. And we've got to learn to handle mistreatment like a champion. Not to be a doormat and just let everybody just beat us up. That's not what it is. Man, but we just love unconditionally. We just don't respond like everybody else. Our culture is a culture of hate. And if you don't agree with me, I don't agree with you. And I'm going to let you know about it. I'm going to get in your face and yell at you. I'm going to put my opinions on Facebook and I'm going to unfollow you. And after I put my jab back out there so you know that I did. Right? That's our culture today. But God has called us to be different. God has called us to be different. We are to love unconditionally. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, make allowances for each other's faults. Forgive one another who offends you. Man, people are going to do us wrong, right? But remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. What a great reminder for us. So, we know people are imperfect, so know that you're going to be mistreated. Just know that it's going to happen. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. We make allowance for each other's faults. And because mistreatment is inevitable, it's going to happen, anticipate the feelings of revenge welling up inside of you, right? Maybe you've never felt those feelings before. You've never had that moment of revenge and anger boil up inside of you. Maybe I'm talking to myself this morning. But we're not going to respond that way. We're different. We're Christ-like. We're going to respond in love. People are going to hate. We're going to love. They're going to go low. We're going to go high. Right? That's just how we're going to be, because revenge never satisfies. You can get even and not get even. All that's going to do when you get even, all that's going to happen when you take revenge, is you're going to become more and more like Saul. And what Saul was, God removed his spirit from him. Man, I don't want to be anything like that. God, I need your spirit so bad. I need your help so bad. Right? Man, just anytime we take revenge, we're going to just move further and further away from God's presence. And because that desire, those feelings in us are so strong at times, right? And it's not the feelings that are wrong, right? It's what we do with that. Feelings are going to come, but we're not moved by our feelings. We're people of faith. We live by faith and not by sight. We're not moved by our feelings. We can feel one way one minute and the next moment feel completely different. Feelings come and go. That's why we don't make decisions. That's why we don't make our actions based on feelings. So if a feeling of revenge comes, that doesn't mean I'm a sinful, like I'm going to hell now. No, I don't need to act on it. I don't need to hold on to it and keep it. We need to let those things go. Because those feelings are going to come, I need to just fight differently. I don't need to fight flesh to flesh in this realm. I need to fight in the spiritual realm, right? We need to just fight differently. I need to fight as I pray. I need to pray for people who despitefully use me and speak evil against me. I need to pray for those who curse me and bless them. I don't need to pray like, God, would you just take them out, right? David prayed some pretty crazy prayers. You can read them in Psalms. He's like, Lord, break the teeth of my enemies. Now that's a deep prayer right there. But then he was like, okay, Lord, I'm so sorry. Let your will be done. You are my vindicator. Like, we need to just begin to pray, begin to bless those people. We need to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. We need to begin to fight as we worship. We need to begin to fight as we love and not respond in hate. That's what's going to really change things in our world, is not responding in hate. We need to respond with love to people who are full of hate, because it's the goodness of God that draws people to repentance. It's not my opinion. It's not the things that I think, it's the goodness of God that will cause people to change. And that's displayed in us by his blessing in our lives. By when we love unexpected, when we love when we're being given hate, man, it's goodness of God. Yes. Come on, I'm preaching 87% better than y'all are amening this morning. Amen. David is now, he's about 30 years old. He's been on the run for 8 years. It's been 15 years since he's killed Goliath. Saul would continue to try to kill him, and all kinds of crazy things begin to happen in David's life. He's just on the run. And we get to 1 Samuel chapter 24. And David has finally found a city where they're able to take refuge in, where this calls it their city. It's the city of Ziklag. And they're out defeating one of their enemies that are trying to come against him. And it says this in verse 1. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into their city. They had crushed it and burned it to the ground. They carried off their women, their children, everyone else without killing anyone. They had taken everything that they had. And when David and his men saw the ruins of their city and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. Maybe you felt like that before. Complete and utter despair. Cried so long that you feel like you have no more tears left to cry. You're not alone. You're not alone. In this moment, David is in complete despair. If there's ever a moment for David to throw in the towel, it's this moment right here. It's the lowest moment for David. Next verse, verse 6 says, David was now in great danger. I just always laugh at that part. Be like, now he's in great danger? He's been in danger all these years. Now he's in great danger. Because all of his men, the people who crawled in the cave with him, were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. Now, the king of Israel is trying to kill him. Now, his own men are trying to kill him on every side. David is surrounded by people who want to take him out. They want to stone him. And here he is, David. What does he do in this moment? He doesn't know what else to do. In verse 6, it says, but David found strength in the Lord, his God. One translation says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Man, we need to learn to encourage ourselves, to speak to ourselves in the Lord. Point number 5, and I ask Janae to come back up here on the piano. Point number 5 is, be your best encourager. Yes. Be your best encourager. We've got to learn to speak to ourselves, to speak to our soul, to speak to our emotions, to tell them the truth, because our soul and our emotions are just going to try to figure everything out and life's going to come out. But we've got to learn to encourage ourselves. There wasn't Facebook there for him to scroll and find somebody who posted some nice encouraging thing. There wasn't a podcast or a preacher or somebody. It was just David. What did he do? He had been in the caves. He learned that in these moments of despair, he learned he had to sing. He had to worship. He had to encourage himself. Lord, I know you're not done with me yet. I know my enemies surround me. They want to take me out, but God, you are my strength. I will run to you, Lord. Soul, be encouraged. We've got to encourage ourselves. We've got to speak to ourselves in these moments. It's in these moments that God is up to something. When we feel the lowest, when we feel forgotten, that God is up to something. He's doing something great in our lives. But we've got to begin to encourage ourselves in these moments. Number six, you've got to get up on the inside so you can go fight the battles on the outside. David and his men in verse 18, David got back everything the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his wives and his family. Nothing was missing, small or great, no detail left unattended to, sons and daughters, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. See, God has victory for you on the other side of this. If you're willing to get out of yourselves, if you're bold enough to step out and say, God, everything around me, everyone wants to take me out, but God, I worship you. Somebody who's just radical enough to put their trust in God. And God has got victory on the other side of you. Nothing missing. I don't know what the enemy has stolen from you, but there's nothing that the enemy has taken that God can't restore. We need to encourage ourselves. We need to encourage ourselves. We need to keep moving forward. Keep taking steps. Don't quit. Keep taking steps. Keep moving forward. We need to keep moving forward. Keep holding on. Keep worshiping. Keep singing. Keep praying. Keep pressing in. We need to speak to ourselves. See, what David didn't know when he came back from this victory, that he was moments, days away from a crown. See, what was happening in another region of the country at this very time was that Saul had led his army out and he was killed that day along with all of his sons. Word was coming to David, David, now's your time. Now is the time. It's time. God had prepared him, king of the caves. And he didn't know in this moment of despair that he was just moments away from stepping into the palace, into the destiny that he had been anointed for so long ago, that his time was now. But he had to keep moving forward. He had to go out and fight the battle so that then he could step into this moment. And it's the same for us. We've got to encourage ourselves in the Lord so that we can step out and face the battle that God has called us to, so that we can step in. You are moments away from everything changing. Some of you in this place, God is speaking that word to you right now. You're moments away. I know it seems dark. I know it seems like it's everything is losing right now, but you are moments away from stepping into what God has for you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just take a moment in this place and just write where you are. Just begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. Just begin to speak to yourself. Build yourself up in your faith. God is not finished with me yet. My best days are right in front of me. Though enemies fall on my right hand and my left hand, God, you are there for me. You are my shelter. You are my refuge. You are my place of safety. God, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises against me will be condemned, because that is the blessings of the servants of the Lord. Lord, you are my vindicator. Lord, you fight my battles. Just begin. Just begin in this moment. Begin to build yourself up. Encourage yourself, because we need strength for the battle. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in the cave right now. You're crying out to God, God, why am I here? Everything about me seems to be going wrong. God, I feel confused. I feel alone. You're in the cave right now, and God is saying, I'm with you. You're not alone. I want to turn you into a king in this season. Maybe you're here right now, and God is speaking to you. You know you're the one that God is calling you to crawl into someone else's cave. But you've been sitting on the side. You haven't taken the steps. You haven't crawled into that cave. And today, God is saying, I need you to crawl into their cave. Some of you here today, you're Saul. You've been throwing spears. You've been hoping that others would fail. You've been plotting revenge. You've been plotting to take people out. And God is saying, I've called you to be a king, but you can't do it with spears in your hand. I need to break your heart. I need some things to change in you so that you can be a king, so that you can do what I created you to do. You just can't do it on the path that you're on. You need a change. Today, God is saying, today's your day. Today is the day. Some of you are just far from God in this place. Maybe you've known him, you've known about him, but you've never known him personally. That's what God is after. He's after your heart. He wants to know you in a personal way. He's not a distant, far off God. He's not an angry God. He's not just someone barking orders at us. He wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. Maybe you've never seen him that way, and today you're like, man, I need God in my life. I need that. God is just one step. If that's you on any of those today, you're saying that's me, just right where you are, would you lift your hands? I want to pray with you all across the room today. Thank you right there, hands all over the room today. Thank you, church. Let's just pray out loud all together, all as one body with those that are lifting their hands. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for saving me, for making me new, for taking old things out of me. I don't want these things anymore. God, I want you. I need you, God. Fill me with your spirit. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Help me to train. Help me to look to you so that I can be the king that you've created me to be. Come on, church. Let's celebrate in this moment together. Thank you, Lord God. We give you praise, God. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Let me pray for you this morning, church. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing right here in our midst right now. I thank you, Lord God, for boldness rising up inside of every person. Lord God, I thank you for focus rising up inside of every person, that we'll change our focus, that we'll look to you, God, that we'll keep...